Markkanen blocked by an excellent defender in Matisse Thybulle, and Thybulle just got the steal. What a play.
Wow.
NBA Straya, how are you going? Hope you're going all right. It's NBA Straya, it's Tuesday. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with you, homies.
I'm your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes, Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie Rap, Bull Mag, literally whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff, that booze money. Oh yeah, here in Larry Armour Studios, keeping you completely up to date with literally everything going on and giving you the lowdown and all the ins and outs of an NBA season that is, I'll tell you what, pretty bonkers at the moment. While repping Australia a bit, that's what we do here. And we don't take things too seriously. No, we don't, do we, Jimmy? No, we don't, sir. We leave that for the nerds. They love serious stuff, the nerds. No, we need to be very serious about this basketball. Shut up, idiots. Anyway, right. Draymond is the first champion of the Marvel Entertainment Presents Arena of Heroes, brought to you by the NBA and State Farm Presents the Arena of Heroes. That was weird. LeBron won't stop sucking, and what is it? Carmelo Anthony. Just cracking the top 10 all time in a category. We'll talk about that. We've got all that covered in the NBA Straya game wraps. We've got a slab of That's Not a Knife, Old Mate, No Mate, Spud of the Night, Better Than Lonzo Ball. There's some nice, yeah, nahs. We've got the unpopular opinion today. We've got Outback Takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. There's Australian Player Watch, and it's Tuesday, which means we have a Shane Hill shoot a shot, light him up award, but also a bonus Andrew Gay's Grand Mamba award to give out as well. We'll preview all seven games tomorrow with a pick and preview of each of those, and finish up with the Jingles HR. Big show, fun show. Let's get to it. NBA Straya episode 603. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Straya.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
You better. Better watch out for the attack of the killer squid today. Jesus, so it's Tuesday. We're not doing today's show as late as we did last week. Thankfully, my lovely mother-in-law is looking after squid right now. Took him to the zoo this morning. That was fun. A bit of daddy squid time, hanging out, checking out all the animals, as we want to do. Not too far from the house. Wandered down there. He has a great time. He's in a great mood. And then, it all just falls apart. We go see some baboons. He's happy with the baboons. And then on the way out, he's like, I want to go to the park. I'm like, nah, we're going to go home. He's like, oh, fuck you, Dad. Oh, my God, jeez. He doesn't actually drop an F-bomb. He hasn't done that yet. Touch wood. But anyway, the thing was, he just fucking lost it. He had his beanie down over his face looking like he's about to rob a fucking convenience store. We grabbed some sushi on the way home. He's pulled the bloody thing over his head. I'm like, you look like you're about to knock off the sushi joint. What are you doing? Luckily, the lady there is awesome. She's laughing along with me. Poor little buggy. He's just sitting there getting laughed at by adults. Anyway, and then he just fucking punched me in the gob. Later on, we got home. I'm like, you go to bed. He's like, bang. I'm like, fuck. Trying to break my jaw, you little bastard. Anyway, see, we'll watch out for the squid attack. Right, let's start today's show. The way we start every show here at NBA Straya with the daily whip around. See, it's the whip sound. It's the whip around. I get it. German, Rondo, I'm Dennis Schroeder. All right, he's expected to miss basically, 10 to 14 days, the old two-week period, due to health and safety protocols, a.k.a. you got that, Coco! Good job, Dennis. He also came out and spilled the tea on LeBron, saying, yeah, man, like, basically everybody on the team except for me and LeBron are vaccinated, so, yeah, I don't want to miss any more basketball. I should probably get around to it. It's like, oh, shit. Hey, you just added LeBron as not being vaccinated and B. Probably should have gotten that jab, you idiot. Right, players of the week, they're announced as well. In the East, you got Boston's Jason Tatum. Oh, sorry, Tatum. More like Yatum after that 60-point effort. And in the West, you've got Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns. Sure. He had a nice little run, I guess. Checks out. Who was better? Nobody. Luka Doncic got some bad news. Not only did he not win Player of the Week, the league actually upheld the two bullshit tech fouls that he copped in that game against Sacramento yesterday, which is pretty funny. One of which, don't forget, literally had him going, running past the ref, going, "That's not a foul," and like pumping his fist. "That's definitely a tech." Fucking refs, man, they're cooked. Today's games are just a really good example of why the refs are cooked as well. The Lakers-Nuggets game, the end of that was just a fucking shit show. The end of Grizzlies-fucking-Memphis was just horrible. You've got Rick Carlisle coming up trashing him as well. Other news, Jaylen Brown, as mentioned yesterday, got hurt in that tangle with Jason Tatum at the very end of the Celtics' loss to the Blazers yesterday. There's still no official word on Brown's status from the Celtics, but it seems like there's optimism that it's actually not a significant injury and that he's avoided a serious injury. Well, that's good, fingers crossed, because it looked pretty fucking bad. Just saying. So hopefully he's all right. Hopefully it's just something, you know, relatively minor. Tyrese Halliburton, same vibes. He got hurt yesterday on that weird hop with the behind-the-back dribble. That's what we get for showboating, bro. But no word, and probably won't hear anything until overnight our time on Tyrese Halliburton, how bad that was. Nerlens Noel set out the Knicks game today with his sprained ankle as well. But, I mean, I think I mentioned yesterday, so the x-rays were negative on that. So hopefully you'll be right to go pretty soon. And I think that might be all the news. We're going to talk about Melo later. And the Orlando Magic, at least they get their coach back, because Steve Clifford apparently has just finally cleared the health and safety protocols. So pretty fun. Oh, and I guess the thing on the Luka thing, that leaves him one away from being suspended. So he's got 7 or 8 more games basically to go, right, don't get a T or get suspended. To be honest, who gives a fuck? I mean, he should, because they need to win as many games as possible so they don't have to go in the play-in tournament. But here we are. Right, let's do some game wraps.
Game wraps, 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 game wraps.
Game wraps! And as always, the game wraps are brought to you by WeAre.co. If you're part of a community sporting group or social club, you want the easiest way to run a raffle or fundraiser ever, you want to fund a project using a bit of crowdfunding, why don't you use a little Aussie startup, the little Aussie startup that could WeAre, or like a great little company. Obviously, WeAre NBA Australia. That's the WeAre NBA Australia raffle. Go check that out on our socials. You can find the links on our Facey IG on the Twitter. Great prizes. The tickets are cheap as chips. I keep mentioning that the tickets are cheaper than they probably ought to be. Maybe a bit of a misstep there, Jimmy, but that means you can clean up if you want to buy some tickets. Or go in for a double dip if you've already bought some. Double up. Why not? Go hard. Either way, if you need to also run your own raffle or crowdfunding, boom, go check out WeAre.co. They're amazing. Best part is no fees on the back end. You'll be laughing. Right, today's game, we had 8. Orlando beating the Detroit Basketball Pistons. That's right, 119-112. Weird game. Wild game. The Magic bench outscored their starters, despite only being 4 people versus 5, which is pretty crazy. And meanwhile, the Pistons are rolling out a lineup that's legit rookies and like second-year players, third-year players, and Josh Pacey-Jackson, and that's like it. But either way, the story of this one is Orlando won. Big Deke Bay, yeah, 26-9. Love him. I'm going to talk about him later as well. Killian Hayes, look, work in progress, but I kind of like him. 7-7. Beef Stew, Isaiah Stewart, 10-8 with 3 blocks. But this is the Piston just going, throwing in the towel, going, "We're playing the kids. We're playing the kids." And I love it. Good on him. For the Magic, Mo Bamba. That's right. The Mo Bamba MVP watch is back. He had 22-15. Woo! Let's go, Mo. Needs Mo Bamba. RJ Hampton, erstwhile former New Zealand breaker. 16.7 rebounds, 10 assists. He was awesome. Chason Randle at 18 as well. Good game for the Magic men. Dumb win, really, in the long run, though, because had they have lost that, they and Detroit would have been tied up, but whatever. Detroit, that's some good tanking. They're 19-46. Orlando, 21-44. Now, Indy went to Washington. And you see some of these scores that Indy are putting up of late, and you're like, are Indy tanking? It's like, no, they're in the fucking play. What is happening? They're in the play. Anyway, they lost in Washington 154-141. You're like, wow, Jimmy, how many overtimes is that? And I'll tell you, my sweet dear listener, 0. Goddamn 0. I'll tell you what, that's pretty, pretty, pretty. Ooh, that's pretty interesting. Because Tell you what, bet the over in every Wizards game anyway and you'll never be poor. But also, what a great game by Washington. 154 points in regulation. They had 50 assists. It's a franchise record. It's the most since 1990 in a game for a team as well. Everybody scored. Like, 9 Wizards players were in double figures. It's like one short of the NBA record, I think. And the Wizards in this game, literally, the story of this game is that they just missed less. Seriously, they shot over like 61%. And they held, inverted commas, the Pacers to 49 and won. But the thing is, Rusty played an absolute belter of a game. He was huge. Souvlaki King was great for the Pacers, 32 and 19 for him with 9 assists. Just misses the triple-double. And my sweet baby, Caris LeVert, he had 33 and 7. Looking good. But Rusty Westbrook, 14 points. He only takes 8 shots. Unbelievable stuff, right? Goes 5-8, takes 0 threes. Because he's too busy getting rebounds and throwing out assists. He had 21 rebounds and 24 assists. Damn, Rusty, you do a work. Talk about that again in a second, but suffice it to say, that's a pretty unique stat line. 14, 21, 24 doesn't come around often. And in fact, as weirdly enough, never come around. Beal had 26 and 6. Rui Hachia Mura had 27 and 7. He's had a really good last couple of months, Rui. He's turned a corner. I love that. India now 30 and 34. The craziest part about this is Washington, with that win, are now only a half game back of Indy. They're basically now playing for, like, home court advantage in the 9-10 matchup. But they're only still, basically Charlotte are in 8 at the moment. And they're only 1 game up on the Pacers, ergo 1.5 game up on the Wiz. Unbelievable scenes. Anyway, Washington, good on them. I love it. They're, like, the hottest team in the NBA, basically outside of, like, the Knicks and Denver, which is awesome. So that's a fun story. Golden State beat the pants off of New Orleans in the Marvel Presents. The State Farm Presents, NBA Presents, Avenue... No, what is it? Arena of Heroes. This was the Marvel crossover game. You could watch like a weird different broadcast, which is kind of fun, kind of gnarly. I'll talk about this in Yeah Nahs, but it's not bad. Who gives a fuck? They win it 123-108. Steph came out, kicked some ass, and the Pels never got back in it. It was weird. It was this is how bad the Pels can be, right? When they get down, there is, like, zero fight in this team. Lonzo forgets how to shoot a fucking ball, and they just stink. And especially when you've got money on the Pelicans, like me. Jesus, it's frustrating. The lesson here, as much as a easy go-to bet the over in every Washington game, never bet on fucking New Orleans is just as easy. Because they'll never reward you. 5 of 25 they went from downtown. Remind me why they let J.J. Redick fucking sook his way out of town. I don't like it here. My family are in New York. You signed the contract, JJ. What are you doing? Anyway, Zion had 32 and 8. Spindles Ingram was held pretty quiet in this one. 19 and 4 for him. Only 11 shots and 1 of 4 from downtown. And Lonzo was horrible. 7-7 and 8. Jimmy, that's not so bad. Yeah, he shot 3 of 18. That is bad. The Warriors went 17 of 44. That's 12 more threes they hit than the Pels. 36 more points out of threes than the Pels. Unbelievable. Steph had 41. He hit 3 more threes than the Pelicans did. It's amazing. 14 of 26. He goes 8 of 18 from downtown. He also had 8 assists. Wigo had 26. And Draymond Green is the first champion of the Arena of Heroes. With a triple-double, 10 points, 13 rebounds, 15 assists, 3 steals and 2 blocks. Basically, the NBA and Marvel went, we're going to be really innovative. And the champion of this Arena of Heroes will get a point for like a point, every point they score, every rebound, every assist, every steal, every block, and will take away a point for every turnover, every missed shot. And it's like, oh, so you're playing fantasy. You fucking idiots. Good on them. Anyway, the Pelicans now, 29-36. They're Dunskies. They're 2.5 games back of the Spurs for the 10 spot. And Golden State at 33-32. They've moved up to 8 with the Grizzlies losing today, which is huge because potentially this could give us, in the 7-8 playing game, the Lakers Warriors, Mavs Warriors, Blazers Warriors. Doesn't matter. All of those are awesome. So if we can keep 9-10 being Grizzlies-Memphis, which is fine, Yeah, getting a really fun 7-8 game would be unreal. And just imagine you're like the Jazz or the Phoenix Suns and they're going, what? Why do we have to play the Warriors? Oh, come on, man. Be very funny. Portland lost in Atlanta as predicted on this year's program yesterday, 123-114, close early. Blazers didn't have quite enough to get over the hump early. Atlanta just sort of kept their noses in front for the vast majority of the game. And then the legs just went on the Blazers. You know, they're on the road. I think they've played four games on the road up to this point. They beat the Celtics the other day. And in the fourth, the Hawks are up 20. It was all over. Like, Portland had a nice little run at the end from, like, what, TJ Leaf and Harry Giles and Nassir Little, etc. But whatever. All over. And Melo went past Elvin Hayes for the 10th in all-time scoring in the second quarter. That was nice. We'll talk about that later. Dame, he's back. 33 points. He had a great game. 6-11 from downtown, but there just wasn't enough help. Norm at 15. Melo had 14. CJ McCollum had 20 points and 7 assists. Just not enough anywhere else, though, for the Blazers. Like, Nurk had 4 points on 6 shots. Pretty brutal stuff. Meanwhile, the Hawks had it from everywhere. They went 20 of 41 from downtown. And this is the sort of game where the Hawks look really dangerous. Like, Gallo has 28. He goes 7 of 10 from downtown. Bogdan was incredible. 25 points for him. He went 7 of 14 from downtown. It's one of those games where you just, like, Trae Young becomes a dimer gunner. He had 21 points and 11 assists. And you're like, that's pretty good. He shot 6 of 16, 1 of 6 from downtown. Didn't matter when you've got Bogdan and Gallo just killing it. 15 and 8 for John Collins. That's a tall cocktail. As well, good win for the Atlanta Hawks. Kaká solidifying that 5 spot. Only half game up on Miami. They need to be there, so good on them. Portland now 36-29. As mentioned, they're in the 7th spot after the Lakers win today and the Mavs didn't play. So, look, they need to keep on winning. That's not what they did today. Philly beat Chicago 106-94. No Vooch, no Levine for the Bulls. And you're like, yep, laughing. Philly, you little ripper. Stupid goddamn Sixers, though. Giving me a heart attack walking around the zoo with the squid. They've been kicking the shit out of the Bulls from the get-go. I'm 16 in the first. I'm watching it as we're walking over there. I've got my phone strapped to the back of the pram. Nothing sus. Sketchy dad. Just watching basketball as I'm walking out with the kid. I'm checking the scores. They're up 23 in the third quarter. I'm like, all right, laughing. Got a bit of money on this one. We're good. They're up 20 still at the fourth. I check it. Again, we get into the zoo, hanging out. We go for a bit of a walk. I'm like, oh, I better check the scores. 1 point. 1 point with half a quarter to go. I'm like, what is going on, you bastards? Kobe White went absolutely fucking ham. So I was just, I've whipped it back out, started watching it. And he had 11 points and 3 threes all in a row in that fourth quarter. That got the Sixers to have to put all their guys back in. Denzel hits 2 threes. There you go to the 1 point game. And I'm spewing at this point. Embiid and Harris, though, scored, settled it back down. They go back up 5. The Bulls, without Levine and Vooch, just couldn't hang on and score at all. So away they went. And Harris and Embiid just kept drawing fouls and scoring. So it was fine. But shit, I'm out here swearing at some motherfucking tape ears and shit. The kid's like, what are you yelling at, Dad? I'm like, well, the Sixers try to lose money for me. I'll tell you what, we're not coming back to the zoo ever again. Bulls, Kobe White finished with 23 points and 5 assists. He went 5 of 10 from downtown, including that heart attack American vibe. And Denzel at 11 points, 4 assists. Nothing else going for the Bulls without Levine or Vooch, though. Tough scenes. Larry, that's a girl's name, marketing, which is bad. You're like, this dude might not be good. Just saying. 21-9 for Tobias Harris for the Sixers. Embiid had 13-10. Seth Curry hit a couple of threes. He had 20. Danny Green hit 4 threes as well. Love to see that. And Simo had 15-6-5. Good game for him. Chicago, 26-39. Their season is done, basically. They're 4 games back of the Wiz in the 10 spot. So pack her up, boys. 1-2-3, Cancun. And Philly, 44-21. Back on top of the East. Feeling good. 1 game up on the Knicks. The New York City Knickerbockers of New York City beat the Memphis Grizzlies 118-104. Fun game. Knicks took control of this in the second with a 44-point quarter. But look, the Grizzlies just sort of hung around. There was a season-high 25 from D-Rose. And despite not having a center with Noel out and the other Mitch Robinson, Taj Gibson's out there manning the 5. So Memphis didn't really take complete advantage of that. 16 boards for my name is Jonas Valanciunas, but he only had 11 points. The Knicks got out-rebounded by only 1. And look, it seemed like the Knickerbockers were pretty, you know, happy and Dunsky and cruising with this. Then the Grizz just came at them hard in the fourth quarter. They were down 17, I think, in the third quarter, right? And then they got it down to 5. About 5 minutes to go. Julius Randle hits a big 3. Just under 4 minutes left. And you're like, all right, cool, but it's still five. It's still pretty close down the stretch. And then boom. Basically, what is it? 8 points or so. The Grizz just copped five techs that basically cost them the game. Taylor Jenkins got tossed. Dylan Brooks got a T. Jar got a tech and then got another one for bitching and moaning about it and got tossed as well. Five techs! The refs just lost it. And the fun part was Memphis basically just rage quit and threw their controller against the wall or at the tally. It's like, oh, I didn't want to play. Bang. And just quit. So the Knicks win by 14. 118-104. The Grizz Jar had a rough game. He was the one who got like really sort of spurred on that like little run at the end. He did go 2 of 14, yeesh, for 8 points, but he's always a threat, which you kind of love. 25 for Dylan Brooks, Triple J, he had 15. Old Jaren Jackson Jr. and Desmond Bane. 4 of 7 from downtown for his 22. He's awesome. But the Grizz, I'll tell you what, since Triple J came back, they've been rubbish. Tell you what, it's pretty hard incorporating dudes at the end of this season. Even though he's really talented, it's just thrown them for a bit of a loop. 28-6-6 for Julius Randle, 5-8 from downtown. MVP. 25 for D Rose, 11-15 from the floor, making amazing clutch buckets, hitting threes. He went 3-5 from downtown as well. RJ Barrett at 15-7. Burks, he was back as well for the Knicks. You'd like to see that. You know, they're going to have some healthy bodies. The Grizzlies. Now 32-32, and as mentioned, they're in the 9 spot, which is crazy. They're half game back of the Warriors now. And the New York City Knickerbockers of New York City clinch their first official winning record since 2013. Unbelievable. That's their first winning season, 37-28. It's clinched since 2013. Unbelievable. The Utah Jazz beat the pants off the Spurs, 110-99. Utah kicked the fuck out. Never trailed. Up 11 in the first, 19 in the second, 11 points at the end, but it was 25 points during the third quarter. The Jazz were still up 20 in the fourth, so this is just a little bit of a shit pumping. 66 points in the paint versus 46. Utah ran over the top of them, even without Donny Mitchell or Mike Conley, didn't matter. The Spurs went 5 of 18 from downtown. They got out-rebounded by 13, 50-37. As mentioned, points in the paint, outscored by 20 as well. Tough scenes for the Spurs. They could only hit mid-ranges for the first half of the game, and nothing outside of that. And yeah, can kind of tell. DeMar had 22 points, 6 assists. DeJounte Murray 15, 16, 5. And Rudy Gay, 17 points. Nothing else going there for the Spurs, though. Bojan was huge for the Jazz. He had 25. Really got going early and cooked him. Rudy Gobert's the stuff of the world. At 24 points, 15 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 3 blocks. Yeah, not a bad game. Jordan Jeremy Clarkson had 16, 6, and 5 as well. Spurs, 31-33. Tell you what, better watch out. Spurs, 31-33. You're in the 10 spot. That's not where you want to be. Still 2.5 games up on the Pels, though, so you're laughing. Utah, back on top of the West, 47-18 with that win. Good on yous. Half a game up on the Suns. Finally, Denver lost against the Lakers, 93-89. Weird, wild game. Lakers were in control for, like, all of the second half. And Denver never really got into any sort of flow. They lose PJ Dozier to what appeared to be a groin injury, which sucked. Tough sledding injuries-wise for the Nuggets, right? They don't have Monty Morris. They don't have Will the Thrill Barton. Obviously, they lost Jam and Jamal Murray. But wow, the Lakers were also shorthanded in this one because LeBron James. Oh, I hurt my ankle again. I'll never be 100% again. Cry. Didn't play. Obviously, no Dennis Schroeder, I'm Jamal Rondo because he's got that Coco, that Trumpy good time. They go up against a team that's 9-1 without Jam and Jamal absolutely flying, and they gave him the clamps. Gave him the clamps! AD was awesome in the first half. Michael Porter Jr. couldn't do shit against his Lakers team. Their defense, the Lakers, when they really lock in and really want to fuck your shit up, they can, which is awesome. And outside of Michael Porter Jr. and Joker, there was nothing going for the Nuggets. No one else could punish them at all. And that's what happens when you don't even have Monty Morris or Will the Thrill Barton. Because Aaron Air Gordon had a bad game, and that's basically it. If he's not going to step up when no one else is, it's over. The Lakers' offense, though, gave the Nuggets a chance right at the end. The fact that Michael Porter Jr.'s shot that would have cut it back down to 2 was waved off because of a Fakul Kapatso, inverted commas, offensive foul. The dude's a fucking foot shorter than Anthony Davis, and Anthony Davis went flopping and flying like he'd been fucking shot in the arm. Oh, jeez! I got knocked over by a tiny Italian! Unbelievable. Anyway, the ref's just fucking trying to save the Lakers' skin there with that bullshit call. Realize how bullshit it was. Make up for it on the next Denver offensive possession. Give Joker a rubber shooting foul against AD. But then Denver couldn't get out of their own way. Joker gets beaten out for a rebound by THT. He's dynamite. So after their offense just grinds to an absolute halt in the last 5 minutes of this game, the Lakers just get out of it because THT hits a little sort of putback to go back up four. AD blocks the shit out of a Facukampazo three, and the game's over. It was wild that the Lakers managed to pull this out because it very much looked like Denver were just going to run over the top of them. Because that's the thing. AD, for all the amazing stuff they did in the first half, had just been pretty rubbish. They sat him for a lot of the fourth. He was being looked at by the trainers, etc. Anyway, came back out, comes up with a sort of game-saving block. He also had a nice sort of like couple of buckets there right at the end. So good game, I guess, in the end by AD. But it was looking a bit dodgy there for a second. But either way, Joker had 32-9-5. Had a couple of shitty moments on offense as well. You're like, what are you? Okay, sure. You shot 12 of 28. Ooh, Michael Porter Jr. as well was very quiet for most of this. 19.6 rebounds. When he got going, though, you're like, ooh, this is fun. The fact that they wiped off that bucket, though, for that Campazzo thing is just still ridiculous. Air Gordon, though, 5 points, 2 of 7. Ugh, you're killing me, Aaron. The Lakers, meanwhile, went 13 of 30 from downtown. AD finishes with 25 and 7. Great first half. I think he had 16. He shot 9 of 19 overall. Gets the game-saving block, though. Poor Campazzo. Just, what are you meant to do? You're trying to shoot a 3, and then a fucking human pterodactyl comes flying out of nowhere at you and blocks it. And you're like, well, to be fair, he is a human pterodactyl. Like, what am I meant to do here? KCP had 10. THT had 10. Gasol had 10. Kuzma stunk. He had 2 of 4 in shooting in like 31 minutes. But Gasol, in his 17 minutes, had 10, 7, and 2. Talk about a game changer. I think he was like a plus 12 in a game that was like 4 points. So pretty good. Caruso put on a Caruso with his 11. And Denver, cop a loss. They're 43 and 22. Still in third at the moment, though. They're tied up with the Clippers. And the Lakers, 37-28, back into 5 ahead of the Mavs. One half game. The tank rank standings are unchanged. Houston the worst, Detroit, Minnesota, Orlando are back up there though, basically tied up with OKC, 4-5-21-44. Cavs wrap Chicago Kings. Right, let's do an NBA Australia approved performance of the night.
That's not a knife. That's a knife.
Oh, well, Marvel said it was Draymond because of their very technical approach to scoring hero points that he won. So he's the champion of the Arena of Heroes. Very clearly. Nah, yes, he was the fantasy player who got a triple-double. Congrats. I do love that he was stoked by it, though, which is very cool. Good on you, Draymond. But I'll tell you what, in that same game, there was a bloke who had 41 points, 4 rebounds, and 8 assists. He's got a little puby beard. Still looks fucking 12, even though he's like 33. Whatever it is, shot 14 of 26, 8 of 18 from downtown, hit more threes than the opposition combined. Steph Curry, that was awesome. What a game. But still, come on. If you listen to this here program for a little bit of a time, you might understand a couple of things. A, I'm an idiot. B, I'm very loud. C, I enjoy yelling. And D, I fucking love Rusty Westbrook. E, I'm also a Sonics fan, and he was originally drafted by the Sonics. But Rusty today, the third game in NBA history to have 20-plus rebounds and 20-plus assists. He's already got one of the other ones. He and Wilt Chamberlain are the other two. And this is the first ever 20-20, that's the 20 rebounds, 20 assist game, without points being 20. So he's got a career-high 21 rebounds, a career-high tying 24 assists, and he has 14 points. Unbelievable! But that's so bloody good. The part that I just absolutely love about Rusty is that people are like, oh, shit, he's passed it. It turns out he was basically playing on a torn quad earlier this season. They had to make him sit down and chill out for a couple of weeks. He did. He came back. Now he's rounding into form. The Wiz look awesome. The thing is, people are like, jeez, he just steals everybody's rebound. All right, well, why doesn't everybody who's a rebound thief average over 10 fucking rebounds a game? Is it because he tries really hard to get the rebounds? Yes. Is that sometimes dickheaded? Yes. Does it matter? No. He just keeps on getting him. I love that's his fourth season averaging a triple-double as of today. He's basically secured that. It's done. It's in the bag. And that was his 32nd triple-double of the year. He's got 178 for his career. That's three short of Oscar Robertson's entire career record. And he's got seven games left for Washington. So he's got 32 already. Do you reckon he'd get three and seven? You better bloody believe it. But either way, look, come on, man. 14, 21, and 24. A, that's a crazy line. B, it's literally never been done. C, I mean, he kind of did it before, but he actually had less points this time, but it's still fucking awesome. 14, 21, and 24. Rusty Westbrook. You love to see it. And yes, all of the criticisms of him are founded as well. They've all got some validity. But at the same time, fucking hell, man. He's fun. He's a mental case. He's basically if the Tasmanian Devil was like, you know, an actual player. If we're going to go with Marvel superheroes as well, we can go back onto the fucking Looney Tunes bandwagon for a second and like turn the fucking Tasmanian Devil into a person. It's Russell Westbrook. Spud of the night.
Spud, 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 it is spud of the night.
Spud of the night. 2 of 8 for Lou Will and Kevin. What up for the Hawks, but they get the win anyway. Mo Wagner, hello. He was a spud of the night from the weekend as well. Backs it up with 10 points on 4 of 12 shooting. Thanks for coming, Monus. 1 of 5 from downtown. I love that Orlando are like, yeah, fuck it, we'll sign Mo Wagner. We need to keep losing games. 4 of 12 shooting. He rocked up like 3 days ago, and he's shooting 12 times. What on earth are you doing, Mo? Ja Morant went 2 of 14, as mentioned. That is, how you say, not great. 2 of 14 for 8.6 assists, 3 turnovers. But come on, Lonzo. He was less horrible. As mentioned, 7 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists. Jimmy, that's not bad, man. No, 3 of 18 is pretty fucking rough, mate. 1 of 9 from downtown. He had 4 turnovers as well. And basically, 2 nights after he goes absolutely ballistic against Minnesota, he missed 15 of his 18 shots today and went 1 of 9 from deep. I mean, that's pretty spud-worthy. Good on you, Lonzo. And also, LiAngelo was spotted wearing a Melbourne United hat in an Instagram post. So, gee, I can't wait for LiAngelo to come join United. Boo, jeez. Who's old mate, no mates?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Well, the Grizz, when it comes to the NBA refs. Also, Rick Carlisle, when it comes to the refs, which is pretty funny because Rick Carlisle came out and said, I've got 4 technicals this year. They're all from the same guy. I'm not sure exactly what that says, but there's a saying, reasonable men have a right to disagree. I'll stick with that. That's fucking crazy to think about, right? If you're a coach and you've got 4 techs across an entire season and they've literally come from the one person, I think there's a fucking problem. The Grizz getting absolutely fucking hosed at the end of that game against the Knicks today. It was absolutely brutal. And you hate to see that. The Nuggets, I love that they got a makeup call. And they're like, because we see this absolute phantom bullshit foul on Capuzzo. He's getting steamrolled by AD. They're both sort of running to the ball. AD's fucking a foot taller and 60 pounds heavier. And AD flops fucking worse than an Italian football player. But here we are. And the refs kind of just stuck. They just fucking suck. Ugh. Anyway, LeBron James, old mate, no mates, because he's getting dunked on everybody, which is pretty funny. I'm not 100%. I never will be ever again. Also came out yesterday, as mentioned on this here show, about, whoever came up with the play-in tournament should be fired. The same play-in tournament that literally last year you were like, hey, man, we should have a play-in tournament for the playoffs. That'd be fun. Just because your team's suddenly near it, you shit the fucking bed because you're a coward. That's how it goes. But also, Dennis Schröder is definitely going to be old mate, no mates, right? There was a translation from a German article, which was an interview with Dennis. And he said, nearly the whole team is vaccinated. Only LeBron and I are not, I think. I can't go into quarantine again. If that happens now, I miss a whole round of the playoffs. Can't live with that. So he better get vaccinated because he's going to the protocols right now. But also, oh shit. Dennis, did you just out LeBron as not being vaccinated? Fuck. 14 days time, I still reckon you'll get a DMP. LeBron broke his nose. Did not play, broken jaw. Did not play, bruises all over his body that look suspiciously like a pillowcase full of soap bars. Poor shooter. You've just gone against the LeBron James fucking machine, outed him as like not being vaccinated. Dennis, mate. Pour one out for Dennis. We might never see him again. Jesus. Pantsing of the night, Ja Morant tried to throw it off the glass to himself. It did not work out. The Knicks sniffed that out and just went, what are you doing? And basically just got the rebound. Bledsoe got put in a blender by Steph Curry and then a three dropped on him as well. It's like, Bledsoe, what are you doing? Put in the blender, falls over. Steph's basically still standing over and hits a three on top of him. It was... oh. Like, that man's got a family. Bogdan, he got smoked in the head by his teammate Trey while on the ground after he tripped up. He's not looking. He's running up the court. He's like, I'm going to go to the left corner. It's what I do. Trey's got the ball. Oh, I'm falling. He's falling over. He's tripped. He's skidding. He's trying to get up and bang! In the side of the head, his teammate wangs the ball off his noggin. Just a real pantsing with a kick in the ass at the end. Oh, it was great. I loved it. Go check out the video. It's very funny. Finally, better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. If everybody is apparently very easy to sign with NBL. Isn't that right, Jello? Lonzo was horrible today. As mentioned, 7-7-8. Shot 3 of 18 from the floor, 1 of 9 from downtown. Literally, if you shot better than 3 of 18 today... you're better than Lonzo, but I'm going to give this one to Big Deke Bay. I mentioned him earlier. The Pistons have absolutely got one in Big Deke Bay. 26 points, 9 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals. Oh, but there's the Pistons. I mean, somebody has to score. Technically, yes, but also this is still the NBA. The opposition is still NBA players. Like, we understand that essentially if you're in the NBA, you're very good at basketball. But Deke is a fucking rookie. He's out there. He went 5 of 10 from deep today, 10 of 17. I love him. And I really, really enjoy this, like, bizarre little Pistons core of rookies and, like, young dudes they've got. Hamidou Diallo, you've got Deke, you've got Killian Hayes, Beef Stew, Isaiah Stewart. It just goes on and on and on. You've got Sekou Doumbouya. Love it. They're a weird team. And I kind of like the Dwayne Casey's there. It's like, just don't fire Dwayne Casey when they're shit again next year. And if they get an awesome draft pick this year, we're laughing on you, Pistons. Anyway, Big Deke Bay today. You're better than Lonzo Ball. Right, let's do some yenars. Right after, I'll take a break. And this.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadeet.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey, guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington, or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And 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 you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do some yenars. They're brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from East Ninth Brewing. If you're in Melbourne, look, you got NBA playoffs coming up, you got footy season, you got Mother's Day. Don't waste your time getting booze from the bottle or standing in line like an idiot. It's cold again. Jesus. Go to thedailyliquor.com. Stock up on some of the tasty, tasty beers, some wine, some cocktails. Put together a pack for Mother's Day, for your missus, for your mum, whoever. Or, you know, get yourself a tasty treat if that's what you're after and it's your Mother's Day and you're the mother. Doesn't matter. You're laughing. Go get stocked up on. It's awesome. Check out all the beers. The sample brews are awesome. I love the Dos X, the Dos Blocos Pale Ale as well. They're all good. The cocktails are great. Anyway, so to celebrate an awesome NBA season, bang in the code STRAYA when you check out at thedailyliquor.com. Get a free six-pack of the Dos X PA. It's a great drinking beer. I'll tell you that much. Get a couple of cocktails, get some wine, get a free 600-made Jimmy. Laughing. That's from the Melbourne metro area. Same day delivery before noon. Go smash thedailyliquor.com and get some free beers on your mate, Jimmy. Right. Let's do some yeah-nahs. Number one, Jimmy, are you on board with this Marvel crossover broadcast and shit? Yeah, nah. Yeah. I'll tell you what. I don't care when it's something like this. I think it's kind of fun. I think it's kind of memorable. I think it's kind of silly, but it's also kind of cool because I'm on board with just about anything that takes a chance with a broadcast. Like Nickelodeon doing that simulcast of, like, what was that, Bears Saints in the NFL this year with the slime and everything. That was unreal. It was silly. It was unreal. But if you're a kid, you'd be like, that's fucking unreal. I love football. And this is the thing. Fun crossover stuff like this, alternate broadcasts, like alternate storylines behind everything, go with it. That's unreal. Like, just give me a live channel to also broadcast a game and we're laughing, you know? But the thing is, like, the hero points, it was kind of fun. It was kind of dumb because they're like, oh, how about it be 1 point for a point, a rebound and assist or stealing a block, but yeah, don't get a point for every missed shot or free throw or turnover. Aha! So, fantasy. What's fantasy? Oh, you idiots. But anyway, look, I'm on board with it because it was kind of fun. And obviously, Disney owns ESPN. It owns Marvel. It owns Star Wars. It's all, like, it's got everything. This sort of crossover shit is inevitable. Just make it kind of fun like this and away we go. Just don't half-ass it, you know? It was kind of fun. So, I can't really shit on it. I like alternate broadcasts. There's only so many times you can sit there and go, fuck you, Mark Jackson. And then when they throw something else different at you, you can't sit there and go, well, this is bullshit as well. It was actually fun. Is Mark Gasol the Mr. Wolf for the Lakers? Is that a good comparison? That's what you reckon. Yes. I really like this. I did like today. The Lakers are like, well, a bit shorthanded. We've still got Andre Drummond. Look, we're actually not that shorthanded when it comes to big fellas, but we'll just play Mark Gasol anyway because fuck it. We realize that Andre Drummond might be a bit shit and going up against the Joker, we might be fucked. So they get Gasol out there. He was awesome. Like, he hasn't played for like 7 games and they're just like, yeah, we'll roll him out. Mark's like, all right, that's cool. They just call him in to clean it all up and that's exactly what happened because Drummond stinks. Like, Andre Drummond was a minus 11 again. He had 5 fouls in 20 minutes. He had 4 points. He had 0 rebounds. What an absolute shit show. So they go, Gasol, in you go. He was a plus 7. Oh, I said plus 11 earlier. He was a plus 17 in 17 minutes. They win the game by 4. I love Marc Gasol as Mr. Wolf on the Lakers team. I think it's great. Good on him. Jez Oz with the big one about LeBron. He messaged me going, hey, buddy, yeah, nah. This is the type of sookie crap that would tarnish LeBron's legacy and to an extent why he'll never be on the level with MJ. LeBron does so much good for the community and deserves to be in the conversation for GOAT based on what he does purely on the court. But the sooking for fouls, the kind of statements like, I'll never be 100% again, and whoever came up with the play-in tournament should be fired. And the fact that he started the super team trend make it easy for people to dislike him. Yeah, nah. Look, LeBron's a product of his environment in this NBA. In terms of the sooking and shit like that for fouls or whatever. And the super team thing. Yeah, he went and played with his buddies in Miami after years of slogging it out in Cleveland. To beat basically what? Boston, Orlando at the turn of the 9s and 10s. And the sookie crap where he's like, no, I'll never be 100% again. It's easy to dunk on him and just go, just fucking settle down, mate. And the sookie shit like, oh, whoever came out with the play-in tournament should be fired because we might have to play in a play-in tournament. This is what you get, though. With all the good stuff with LeBron, all the community stuff, all the political stuff that he comes out and talks about, I think I prefer this version of LeBron where he's more outspoken across a wider range of stuff and, like, the way he feels. Like, I can't knock him for saying that he doesn't like the play-in tournament. Like, I mean, I can knock him, but he can say it. That's fine. I'm not giving him shit for saying it. Well, I am. I'm not giving him shit for voicing his opinion, basically. He can have his opinion and I can shit on his opinion, but he can fucking say what he wants, and that's awesome. He's also, you know, pretty silly for a year ago, yo, we need a play-in tournament, and then fucking bitching and moaning. So I tend to agree that the Sookie shit might be, if it gets worse and worse and worse, it is going to be something that sort of sticks to his legacy a bit longer than like MJ's Republicans buy shoes too, kind of, I'm going to be straight down the middle, not say fucking anything to anybody about anything. LeBron is much more of an open book, and I appreciate that. The sooking about fouls and all that sort of shit, I just kind of feel like he can go about it a little bit smarter and better. And then him, like, you know, campaigning for MVP last year and stuff like that as well, it's just a bit on the nose. So I kind of tend to, like, the super team thing, I'm not really gonna shit on him for that more than I already have because it was, I don't know, it was inevitable, but then KD does it and it just sort of keeps happening. That's fine. But I don't think we can lump that all on LeBron. It does make it easier for people to dislike him though. So to come to the end of the question for Jez, it does make it easier for people to dislike him rather than Jordan because he's more of an open book. And that's where we're at. Right, unpopular opinion of the day.
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
As mentioned, I love that Marvel crossover shit. But, come on. What are you doing? You idiots are going to put some more thought into this. Oh, well, we've got Captain Marvel is watching Steph. And Doctor Strange is watching Draymond. And I think, like, Black Panther is Andrew Wiggins. What are you doing? Captain Marvel with Steph is fine. Draymond is out there as Doctor Strange. That's just fucking dumb. He should be Black Panther, do a little bit of everything, bit crazy ass sort of stuff. I love it. But Zion, when they go to the Pelicans for this weird thing, Captain America? What are you talking about? Zion can play Hulk or Thanos, like, without CGI. Just fucking shine a purple or green light on the bugger. Like, what are you doing? That was unbelievably bad. So this is what I said earlier about Marvel, right? It's like, I like the crossover stuff, but don't half-ass it and sort of put, like, very little thought into it. It's like, oh, and also, oh, geez, yeah, Lonzo's being watched by, Iron Man is intrigued by Lonzo. It's like, Iron Man's dead! Hashtag spoiler alert. Jeez, what are you doing, you morons? Oh, he's intrigued by his IQ. I think there's also other smart Avengers left. What are you doing? Don't half-ass this shit. Because you'll piss off the nerds. I put myself in there too. Outback Takehouse. It's Tuesday at Outback. You know what that means? Oh, yeah, I'm jumping on seek.com.au to fill up the kitchen staff again because I keep running through them every week. But I'll tell you why. That cassowary casserole is too bloody delicious to stop taking human lives with a bloody bird running rampant in the kitchen. But we always bring it down eventually, even if it's got a body count in the hundreds now, but still, goes up on that specials board and it's bloody delicious. Cassowary casserole, only at Outback. And today's flame grill take is, to make this shit official, Draymond Green should actually get to fucking star in a Marvel movie. Put your bloody money where your mouth is, Disney, and not have this be like an empty experience like the fucking, what was it, Uncle Toby's future AFL shit I remember watching as a kid where an NFL robot version of fucking Tony Plugger Lockett faced off against like a space-age helmeted Wayne Carey or whatever it was. Was that Mars? I don't even remember. Either way, only at Outback. But that's the thing. Like, give me steaks. Make Draymond, like, it was cool how they had the comic book cover with Draymond on there and they had the character and everything. Now, write him into a comic. Give us some goddamn closure on this entire thing. Just go, oh, and then he won it. And then what? Oh, I know nothing. What? If you're going to have corporate synergy, make it bloody synergistic, you idiots. All right. Let's come back with the Australian Playwatch right after this.
This is Shane Heal, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, what do Chris Paul, NASA Commander Scott Kelly, and Reddit co-founder Alexis Sohanian have in common? Well, they've all got incredible experiences. They've all created audio courses to teach you what they've learned, and they're on Knowable, which is a new app where the world's top experts teach new skills in bite-sized audio courses. Love them. They're short like a podcast, expert-led like an audiobook, and 100% ad-free. It's like Spotify for learning stuff. I love it. Get it right around it, because tell you what, you get smart just listening to a couple of these. The bloke from NASA, Scott Kelly, is out there teaching you lessons learned from a career in space. As mentioned, I'm reading The Expanse at the moment, which is a bit gnarly, pretty nerdy, but bloody good. Chris Paul discusses the performance benefits of a plant-based lifestyle. He's about to win MVP, if you ask me. Reddit co-founder Alexis Ohanian teaches you how to launch a startup, and there's over 100 other experts waiting to teach you something new, so go check it out. If you're keen to learn some new stuff today, download the Knowable app. Visit knowable.fyi. Download the app. Use the code STRAY for an additional 20% off. Thank me later. I'm giving you free beers and getting you smart. I'm balancing the universe. It's sick. All right, get around Knowable. I love him. Yeah, you can give him a shot too. Yeah. All right, let's do the Australian Player Watch today. Big Simo Ben Simmons, that win over the Bulls. 15 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. Played really well. 6 of 7 from the floor, 3 of 5 from the free throw line. Pretty good. Not bad. Better than usual. Matty T, Matisse Thybulle. In 20 minutes, he had 8 points. Went 3 of 8 from the floor, though. Missed a couple of threes in the middle of that fourth that really set off that Kobe White downpour. And he did go 2 of 5 from downtown, so he was feeling it a little bit. But, yeah, otherwise, 1 steal and 3 blocks, leading all guards in the NBA with blocks as well. On you, Matty T. Jingling Joe Ingles in the win over the Spurs. He had 31 minutes played, 13 points scored. In an absolute belting of Patty Thrills of Spurs. 5-11, he shot 2 of 7 from downtown, but he did have 9 assists filling in for the injured backcourt of the Jazz. 2 steals, 2 assists, 2 turnovers. That's a lot of twos. Chew for chew. Patty Thrills in that loss to Utah. Rough going for Patty. He went 1 of 3 in 18 minutes. He had 2 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 turnover. There you go. Pretty quick one today. We had 4 blokes out there. Yeah. Anyway, remember Dante Exum? Apparently, he was out there getting in a nice big workout before the last Rockets game, which is kind of nice, yesterday. So, his season's done, but it's nice to hear that he's actually out there still going okay. Right, let's do that extra bonus Andrew Gay's Grey Mumba Award for Outstanding Achievement in the Field of Excellence, shall we? It's the first Andrew Gay's Grey Mumba! All right, this is an easy one because Carmelo Anthony. Melo, is it me you're looking for? Passed Elvin Hayes today to become the 10th leading scorer all time in NBA history, which is crazy. Hits a three, gets an and one, goes past Hayes, finishes the night at 27,318 points. Yeah, it's a few. interestingly, though, Melo, top 10 all time. He had some nice words in the locker room after that, saying, I was out of the league. I didn't think I'd be here. I didn't think I'd make a top 10. And now I am. It feels awesome. Thank you for the opportunity. You guys are the best. I didn't say those bits at the end, but either way. he does make top 10, and that is unreal. And as mentioned, I think, like, Melo is like the Elvin Hayes of his era, right? It's like you look back and go, oh, yeah, he was just around for a long time and scored a lot of points, didn't he? Because Melo, though, is the only player in the top 10 without an MVP or an NBA title. Oh, but it's okay. He won a college championship. Which is always a great way of putting into perspective the way people hold college titles. Like, oh, but he won a college title. Oh, okay. So he beat a bunch of other kids. Rad. Not a bunch of professionals. Did anyone get paid? Right. But that's still great. 10th all-time Melo. What a legend. He's great. I love him. He's awesome. It's still cool that he's out there cracking it for the Blazers. Let's do a Shane Hill shooter, shoot, shoot, shot, light him up award.
He threw it down. Are you healed? Are you healed?
Praise the Lord. I'm healed.
Praise the Lord, for I'm healed. It is the Shane Hill
shooter, shoot.
Shoot your shot, light him up award. All right, Steph hit more threes than the Pelicans today, as mentioned. He went 8 of 18. They hit five. But today's Shane Hill Shoot, Shoot, Shoot Your Shot Line Em Up Award is, I mentioned him earlier, Big Deke Bay. Sadiq Bay is the first Pistons rookie with back-to-back games of 5-plus threes made. He did that in the last two games. He's the 14th player to ever do that, actually, for the Pistons, which is pretty gnarly. But he's got five or more three-pointers made 11 times this year, which is the record for rookies. That's right, he's better than literally every other shooter in terms of games where he's made five or more threes. He's done it 11 times. AI and Steph were the previous record holders with nine. And he's been absolutely crushing it, Big Deke. He had 26 and 9 today, 22 and 7 with 5 assists, 2 steals and 2 blocks the other day, and 18, 8 and 3 as well. Dude went 19 in the draft. The Nets basically just rolled the dice, went, fuck it, we'd rather Landry Shamet than him. And that was done. He's been awesome all year. And now he's out there shooting threes better than literally everybody in NBA history as a rookie. Well, not better, but he's hit five threes more times than anybody else. So it's pretty bloody good. Right. Check out the Patty Mills Game Day Bullet Game Day Twitter check-in. This one's a really easy one today because, as mentioned, we had Jinglin' Joe Ingles. And who was it? That's right, Patty Thrills. Going up against each other, which was awesome. And when that happens, it does mean you get some nice little moments. Like, I don't know. The ones that Joe Ingles retweeted today, because the Spurs tweeted out a great photo of Joey and Patty with just Australian flag, Australian fag, Australian flag emoji, picture of Joe and Patty chopping it up before the game, having a smile, having a laugh. You'll love to see it. And then Jingles also tweeted out the Jazz, who tweeted out Countryman, love heart, emoji, Australian emoji, hashtag photo of the game at Verizon. And again, it's Joey and Patty chopping up before the game, which is awesome. Just beautiful to see Jingles and Patty hanging out before the game today, even though the Jazz beat the shit out of the Spurs. So, right, there you go. That's a good one. Let's do some game previews.
Game previews. Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem, Jimmy. Did you have a good day today at the zoo?
Yes, I did. It was very fun. It also got me so angry just walking around listening to people bitch and moan about this playing game. Because it's been this thing, it's like, yeah, it's not LeBron. Like, the LeBron media machine goes into fucking hyperdrive to fucking back up their guy's bullshit. And it's like, oh, yeah, I mean, LeBron's right, it is unfair. No, it's not. Oh, but it's a play-in tournament. We don't have any rest, man. Oh, Jesus, oh, it's just really bad. It's really hard. What are you talking about? How do you make the playoffs? Well, you win games. How do you make the playoffs usually? Well, you win more games than the other team. Are you having to win more games than the other team still? I guess, yeah. Then shut up, idiot. The entire season is literally a play-in tournament. There are playoffs at the end. To get into that, you have to play a 72-game tournament and come out of that tournament with wins more than the other teams. If you have less wins than the team above you, there's no guarantee you're, depending on where you fall, that you're going to make the playoffs. Jesus. The entire season's a play-in tournament. Stop your bitching, you fucking crybabies. God damn it. Anyway. So today's picks. I got very heated, as you can tell, just like listening to shit today and just like going, God damn it, watching it on my phone, walking around the zoo, muttering to myself, yes, I'm a very cool, fun dad. Oh, the squid's going to be so angry. I went 4 of 8 in the picks today. A couple of rough ones too. What did we miss? Denver. So Denver, I picked them to win outright yesterday. We didn't have a line on that. New Orleans, as mentioned, they screw me every time I pick them. So. And I thought, like, Detroit, Orlando, that was basically a coin flip, wasn't it? About who's going to try harder to tank. So there we go. Tomorrow, we've got 4 of 8. So that leaves us at 575 for the year. On 1,031 picks. Pretty good. Right. Phoenix play Cleveland tomorrow. Cleveland are 13-point underdogs at home. And that's just a lot of points. Phoenix, look, they're very good. They're going to definitely win because they need to win. They want that one seed. You know that. But Cleveland, look, this is definitely a backdoor cover sort of vibe game where they're down 15 and Phoenix go, right, we've won, we're good. Let's take the foot off the gas, and Cleveland just backdoor cover and lose by 9. So give me the Cavs plus 13. If the sex man's playing, that happens. If he's not, I might change it around to minus 13 for Phoenix, but I'll just keep my eye on that for tomorrow. But there you go, just a heads up. Charlotte playing Detroit. Charlotte are going to kick the crap out of Detroit. Minus 6.5 for the Hornets. I'm going to take that in a heartbeat. They've got LaMelo back. They need to keep on winning. Detroit need to keep on losing. It's a very easy fucking equation. Give me the Hornets minus 6.5. Brooklyn, go to Milwaukee. Now, this is a brilliant, awesome setup game because Brooklyn lost against Milwaukee the other day, obviously, yesterday. They turn around, they have to play them again. It's a litmus test. Can Brooklyn's defense stifle Giannis and the rest of the Bucks, or will they let Giannis, as they kind of did the other day, they dared him to beat them, and he did. Can they do that again, and can they survive? Will the rest of the Bucks actually step up? Will any of the other Nets step up outside of KD? I'm going to go with a bit of a yes. I think Brooklyn can win this one. They're plus 2. My heart says Milwaukee will probably win it because they just match up probably... Actually, no, I'm going to go Milwaukee. I'm going to go with my heart. I think Milwaukee match up too well against Brooklyn to lose this one as well. I reckon Milwaukee... Ooh, maybe I'll talk myself out of this because maybe Milwaukee be like, actually, we don't want to show too much of ourselves. So maybe we'll keep a little something in reserve and KD and Kyrie will go ham. I don't know, man. Jrue Holiday versus Kyrie is like the perfect defender for Kyrie. Giannis versus KD as well. I'm going to go Milwaukee. Screw it. I think they can step up again. Miami hosts Dallas. Oh, it's a rematch of the 2006 NBA Finals and the 2011 Finals. I'm going to take the Heat minus 3. They are on a roll at the moment. Dallas, losing that Sacramento game was just absolutely abysmal. I don't think they can bounce back right away, especially in Miami. Luke could be out partying. He's got on all his techs. I'm going to take Miami minus 3. You know, the Butts and Bam are just rounding into form. And Miami are really rounding into form. And Miami really need to keep on winning to get up into the top 6. So give me Miami minus 3. Golden State versus New Orleans. Can New Orleans turn around and beat Golden State? Can they? I'm going to go with, fuck him, I hate him, but I'm going to go yes. Give me the Pelicans minus 2. I think Spindles and Lonzo can turn around and have a much better game. So give me the Pelicans minus 2. Whereas Golden State played basically just as well as they could. Kick the shit out of the Pels. There's room for an improvement in the Pels, and I think they'll get there. So give me the Pelicans minus 2. Sacramento, OKC. Sacramento stink. They stink. OKC plus 4.5 at home. OKC blue. It's an OKC team that is tanking their hardest. I don't trust Sacramento to actually, like, you know, do the right thing and win this one, like, and like going away. But okay, so you're really, really, really trying not to win games. So give me Sacramento minus 4.5. Buddy Hield might have 50 in this one. And finally, Toronto versus the Clippers. This is going to be a great one. You've got Kawhi up against his old team. You've got a Toronto team that'll be out there going, we can still make the playoffs, we can still make the playoffs. You know, the Kyle Lowry's going to go absolutely ham on them. And I'm going to take Toronto plus 9. I think the Clippers win this, but the Raptors cover. So give me Toronto plus 9. I reckon that can be an absolute belter of a game tomorrow. Yeah. So that's some great ones tomorrow. Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Toronto, Clippers. Yes. Dallas, Miami in there as well. You little beauty. So there you go. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up. Get around their NBA specials. They are always great. And remember, bet responsibly. Don't be a dickhead. Be over 18. And that's it for today. We're back tomorrow to wrap up all the action for you. Make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, IG. We're all over the socials all the time. You know that. Smash the We Are NBA Australia raffle. The links are on all the socials. Win some great stuff. NBL tickets. What else we got? Like a KO subscription, a League Pass subscription for next year. Meat tray, merch packs. Oh, it's all there. It's all great. Check out World Wrestling Australia this week with Adam from FWCI over on YouTube. If you go to YouTube, bang in World Wrestling Australia. Adam crushes it. He'll keep you all up to date on everything going on in the world of wrestling. It is awesome. He's great. World Wrestling Australia is an absolute delight. I love it. Check us a rating review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you use on an Android phone. It really does help out. So get around it, would you? Rate and review. Come on. I don't have to ask you twice. TheDailyLiquor.com. If you want some booze, use the code STRAY. Get some free ones. Free sixer. Love that. Knowable.fyi as well. Get 20% off with the code STRAY. Big thanks go to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. The rub on running out of time is out now. And also big thanks to Joshua De La Renta's Fascinator, Goldmines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp, Triple J and Earth and Face. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. I'm going to close out today's show with a brand new Jingles HR, and we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would ya? And Lederhosen! G'day, Joe Ingles here, head of Jingles HR, the world's leading HR solutions firm. Because yep, when I'm not out there sinking threes, saying g'day to Patty Mills, blowing kisses or enjoying my real estate at Paul George's head, I'm the world's leading HR expert, helping you with all your HR questions and problems. So, with that in mind, let's get to this week's question, shall we? It comes from Isaiah in New Orleans. My dearest Joe, I really need a job. I wrote to you a little while ago about having a job and then getting fired, but geez, it's gotten pretty rough. It's gotten to that point that I'm taking to Twitter to beg for work, yet no one still wants to hire me. Any tips? Also, is there anything going up there in Utah by any chance? Reckon you could put in a good word for your old mate Isaiah or something. Please? Sincerely, Isaiah. And there looks like there's some tear marks on. Oh, geez. How do you get tear marks on an email? Anyway, Jesus, that is a rough one, Isaiah. I do absolutely hear you, though, because sometimes the world is a cruel, harsh place, especially in the world of HR and employment. But if there's anything I've ever learned in this caper is that if you stop putting yourself out there and chasing that dream gig, I'll tell you what, you won't bloody get it. It's the same as me with the South Dragons. I wanted to play so bad, I just kept badgering everybody until they gave me just a kid from Adelaide, a shot, and the rest is bloody history. But yeah, a lot of this stuff really does come down to networking and knowing people who want to help you succeed or can find value in your skill set. So my advice is to keep plugging away, keep submitting job applications, keep your resume 100% up to date, and ensure that you're good to go when you get that call. That's all you can control, your readiness to do the job asked of you. That and not coming across as a bit of a punish on social media. Just saying. I mean, as we say here at Jingles HR, no one will bloody hire if you're not applying for the job. We adapted that from these beers aren't going to drink themselves. So there you go. All right, so there you go, Isaiah. Best of luck to you. Hope that helps you out and puts you on a path to enduring success. Righto, that's all we've got time for this week on Jingles HR. I've been Joe Ingles. Go get a job up ya. Yeah.